Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, is your life full of miracles? Maybe not every miracle you've asked for, but a lot of them. As a matter of fact, we all probably wonder, I'm sure you do, about how life shows up in strange ways that often you don't expect, but you might have wanted. But maybe not the way it shows up, but you got great stuff. And so we're going to talk with an author who gets great stuff because she has a way of doing it that we all want to learn about to make it more focused, more purposeful, and use these techniques that she's used in her book called The Gratitude Formula. The 7-step success system to create a life that you love. Mae McCarthy, welcome to Energy Stew.
Oh, thank you for having me, Peter.
I'm so glad that you could join us to talk about creating miracles.
Yes, miracles are extraordinary or unusual events. Sometimes people think that they happen as a result of divine intervention. And I would agree, because it's my belief that we're all part of this divine source. We're all part of this universal energy. And so consequently, we can enable more miracles to happen so that they...
So we're talking about miracles. And as you say, we have a spiritual connection. We have an energy connection that... we can have miracles happen. And you've had many wonderful miracles in your life.
Yeah, I have. And I'm a big believer in doing some things on a regular basis to enable both our subconscious and this wonderful and divine source of intuition to be able to guide us and direct us to achieve more of what we're putting our attention on. So what that requires us to do is spend some time each day figuring out what we should put our attention on and word that and focus on it as though we've already achieved it with gratitude.
Well, I love that power of intention. And I think many of us over the years have learned, you know, to write down our intentions, make lists, and even be very specific about them. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. I did that 30, 40 years ago. I wrote down a list and I put it in a drawer. And it was a list for maybe 5 or 10 years in the future. And it was about 15 years later that I found it. And I said, oh my God, it worked.
That's right. Yeah, if we focus our intentions and attention on whatever it is that we want as though it's already complete with gratitude, and we do this on a repetitive basis, we're going to start to notice opportunities that our subconscious and this wonderful guiding principle of intuition will point out possibilities for us to take steps to make those statements true. So instead of saying something like, I want to get out of debt, I mean, lots of people that I know in the world of business will tell me that that's their goal. They want to get out of debt. Well, think about that goal statement for a moment. If the goal is to be wanting to get out of debt, or let's say it's to be wanting to lose 10 pounds, well, the goal is to be wanting. People have already achieved that goal. They're already wanting. So what we need to do is shift our words to describe, not only with our words, but also with our thoughts and emotions, that we are whole, healthy, and complete in a physically fit, pain-free body, or that we're grateful that we're financially free with a minimum or more of X number of dollars to easily afford all of our living, giving, and entertainment expenses. As we focus on the completed goal with gratitude, we tend to magnetize ourselves and give instructions to our subconscious to illuminate possibilities all day long that are in alignment with those goals. It's like the last time that you might have bought a car or something that was a large purchase. If you think about that car, you imagine having that car. You talk to your friends and family about that car. And somehow your subconscious takes a look at the hundreds and hundreds of cars that are on the road and brings to your attention that same car that you're interested in driving around everywhere. You never noticed that car before it became a goal, before it became an intention. So if that's the way we work, why not use that to help us to illuminate possibilities for the other things that we want?
Right. And it's a very powerful place to be. There's something that I read in your book that really struck me very powerfully. And that's also how not to insist on having a certain result if it's not the right result, and be able to tune in to, or I can't say tune in, but to surrender, for instance, to our subconscious, to allow it to bring us serendipitous results that are wonderful. And you talk about it in the book, and I that really struck a big note with me, because I've fortunately been successful all my life, but in ways that I never expected. Right. And how do we do that?
Well, for instance, if somebody were had a goal for fulfilling and satisfying work, what they would do is describe their goal as already complete with gratitude. So they might say, I'm so grateful that I am using my skills and talents in remarkable and fulfilling and satisfying ways. And I work with people who I value and appreciate, and I feel valued and appreciated at the same time. You're not describing how you get there. You're describing what the end result is and leaving the how up to this divine intelligence to help orchestrate the divine plan for your life. I had absolutely no intention of being a published author or a professional speaker. All right, that was never to be on my resume. But my goal has always been to use my skills and talents to bless others and to be blessed, to help others succeed and to be successful. And somehow, that idea of living my purpose allowed for my goal to manifest in a completely different way that I chose not to be resistant to.
Right. So maybe it's good to have particulars that you want and then surrender and get out of the way and let the universe deliver the values of what those particulars represent.
Right. Well, I'm a big believer that there is a divine plan for your life, and that there is a wonderful satisfaction and fulfillment when you're living from a place of purpose. When you finally discover within yourself why you're here, you know, why are you here to do what you do? And when I took a look at that, and I described that in the gratitude formula, you know, some questions you can ask yourself to discover your own purpose. But when I started to look at my life and see what I really enjoyed doing, I was able to discover that I like to take complicated ideas and make them really simple to understand and implement. I love to tell stories so that people get a new understanding of some information, and that they can use that information to accomplish their goals or to create a life that they desire. And when you boil all that down, really what I love to do is to help people succeed. So as I got more and more clear on my purpose, then it really didn't matter what I was doing. It just mattered that I was already doing something that was fulfilling and satisfying and that I felt good about.
Right. Well, one thing that, one perspective that I've had to hold all my life is that I've had incredible roadblocks and incredible betrayals and all kinds of things happen. A lot of negativity, a lot of naysayers, a lot of people always along the way either saying, oh, you'll never succeed, or people actually trying to keep me from succeeding, that have been very, very disjointing. And yet for some reason, I've been able to find the way around it or through it, over it, in ways that worked in spite of the resistance. And so I think a lot of us feel that. A lot of us saying, oh, well, you know, maybe she just had it easier. Maybe she, you know, it wasn't so complicated. She would, you know, because a lot of people look at others and they say, oh, they're so much more fortunate.
Oh boy. Oh no, no, no. no, I've had my fair share of pretty amazing challenges. And to your point about other people being naysayers, that's a human condition. You know, perhaps you have better words to explain it, but as someone who has built, you know, 8 different companies, many of which were multi-million-dollar companies, you're always going to get people that tell you something isn't possible. So my advice to clients that I have is make sure that you surround yourself with people who value you, who you trust, and who support you. And don't tell anyone else what you're doing, or in terms of a startup venture, do not tell people that are just going to try and shoot you down. Keep that to yourself and share it only with people that support you. Once you get it going and it becomes a real venture or a real project that you've got going and is in existence and well on its way, then you can tell the rest of the world. But for though, when you're starting something, you want people that to know about it, that support you, and who are champions for you. Do not tell other people, because the human condition will be that they tell you it can't possibly work. You want to know why? Because they don't think that they could be successful doing the same thing. So be careful who you share that kind of information with. That's just practical business advice.
Right. And yet I started a manufacturing company in the mid 80s and also aligned myself with people who were very supportive and positive, but also had incredible misfortune getting started, for instance, hiring a national sales team that for 4 months didn't sell one item for me and told me it was a complete failure. Nobody wanted it. You might as well just give up and walk away. And that was, you know, I thought I had things going. So there are a lot of us in life who think we have things going, and then with people who we think are really on our team, and it turns out that they're not up for it. So I was able to believe in myself enough to find people who all of a sudden were creating miraculous sales for me.
Yeah. Well, and think about that experience that you had, Peter. I mean, you've learned from that. And I can't tell you how many failures I've had. I had one company where one of my co-founders just ended up doing some things that were very, very strange. And I and the third co-founder got pushed out of our business that was valued at $50 million. I mean, talk about, or getting sued by AT&T, MCI, and Sprint all at the same time.
Oh.
And they're telling you that they're going to squish you like a bug. I mean, talk about challenges that come up. Yeah, they do. But here's when you believe in yourself,
right?
When you believe in what you're doing, when you have checked in with that all-knowing power of the universe and you're still getting those signs that this is the right path for you to follow, then you have to look at those challenges in a completely different way. You have to look at them with gratitude and say, wow, look how much I learned. Wow, look how compassionate I can be when other people are going through similar challenges. Look at the information that and the experience that I've been given that I can give away now for free so that people don't have to experience the same kind of pain and agony and expense that I went through.
Right. I mean, and in the middle of it, it's challenging. But what you said was so important is that, you know, we have to have this sense of purpose and belief. You know, we have to believe in ourselves and would you and your our subconscious. You call that your chief spiritual officer. And I love that. And so we have to believe that life works in really positive ways if we surrender to let it happen. And yet we can get very upset, be very disappointed. Mm-hmm. But there's something in our hearts that doesn't change, right?
I agree with that. And we have a choice of how to look at situations. We always have a choice. And one of my very favorite teachers, who's at a spiritual center in Seattle, her name is Dr. Reverend Kathy Ann Lewis, and she described one of the 1800s writers, a woman named Emma Curtis Hopkins. And Emma Curtis Hopkins would consistently say, no matter what a situation appears to be, just stay there and look at it and look at it from every single angle and try to find something good within it. There's something that you can call good. And once you have seen a situation that looks absolutely horrible and you can find one glimmer of good, then things start to shift and you start to see more good opportunities because you're able to let that painful thing go. You're able to look at it differently and it's not holding you back any longer. You're not camping there.
But one way that I'm holding that is that the one thing I see the good is that we live in a serendipitous universe. Mm-hmm. And somehow, some way, there's going to be a doorway. There's going to be a window.
Always.
And true, and yet often we're in the dark night of our soul and we're just looking for a flashlight. But for some reason, those are intermittent and the light shows up. And we don't know how. But that's the point, is that, you know, we can be grateful that we're on the path with this miraculous universe that can keep pointing to different ways of solving problems and opening up opportunities that we never could have thought of ourselves.
Yeah, I believe, I personally have experienced, and so have other people that have decided to use the same kind of goal techniques that I use. I believe that there is a system that we can implement to increase the frequency of those seeming miraculous events happening in our lives. I don't think that success is a secret. I don't think that it's by chance. I believe that we can do some certain things to enable success to happen and to for us to take advantage of successful opportunities more often by doing some things each day in order to be successful. I mean, people have already proved this. I mean, think about the time that you wanted to learn how to drive a car. You weren't perfect the first time you got behind the wheel. You had to use a repetitive practice every single day, and you thought about it and you physically practiced to drive a car well. You saw your friends and family and driving cars. You knew it was possible. You shifted your beliefs into possibility, even though you didn't know how to drive a car. But now, can't you drive home from work after long days at the office and drive home and not remember huge parts of your drive home? Sure. That's a common occurrence for us. That idea of miraculously learning how to drive is now a typical event for us. We've mastered how to drive. Well, we did the same thing in learning how to type on that crazy keyboard that's not even in alphabetical order. We put in repetitive effort every single day, and we welcomed and made familiar what we wanted to achieve by seeing other people that were successful in typing. And now I dare say many of your listeners and viewers probably can type faster than I can talk. They've mastered the situation. They've used a success system to accomplish what they wanted. And it's my belief that they could do the same thing with repetition in describing their goals as complete with gratitude and finding other people that have successfully accomplished the same thing, reading their stories, making what they want familiar and welcome. Those two things will enable more opportunities to show up so that they can achieve similar kinds of success.
Right. And I think a lot of it has to do with, let's call it, doing your homework. And a lot else has to do with these formulas that I believe have to do with holding intention and creating positive vibes. And that's what I think gratitude is about. Gratitude is just being grateful, being thankful for what we see as positive. So we maintain that higher positive vibe, and that allows energies to play in our lives that create more success for us.
Right. And one thing that's really important is that gratitude is not one of those feelings that just show up. Gratitude's a choice. People choose to be grateful, and then feelings might follow. Feelings right. of happiness might follow. But I can tell you that in some of those, you know, awful business situations or personal life events, you know, when you say, "I'm so grateful that we found the diagnosis of cancer so that we can now treat it," that's a tough thing to be grateful for. And I found that was very tough to be grateful for when I was right in the middle of a cancer diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But I'm grateful that they found it so that it could be treated, and you know, praise God that, and thank the universe that I'm still cancer free. But that was a tough one to choose to be grateful in the midst of that. And so gratitude is a choice, and feelings of happiness or joy or positive feelings will follow if we choose to accept them.
Right. So it's finding a way to create a higher vibe about whatever situation you're in.
Yeah.
And gratitude is one of the ways. And I really enjoy the idea that we have a team. And you even talk in the book about building teams of people who are on your side.
Yeah.
And the more we have community of support. So that's another very important positive thing, is to know, to create a family of people who are on your side. We don't all have families that are on our sides all the time. So we have to create those in different parts of our lives, work, you know, work world or our social world, to make sure that everybody is holding that vibe.
Yeah, I describe in the gratitude formula about creating a group, and none of us were related, but there's a group of six of us in what we call our Sangha. And I guess that's a word that describes a spiritual group. Right. But you can call it anything you want. In business, they often call them, you know, business roundtables or accountability groups. And in religions, they might call it a prayer group or what have you. But the idea is to meet regularly. And our group meets once a month. And we talk about what's happened over the previous month. And then we describe what it is that we want. We describe an outcome, a feeling, our health, our relationships, our finances, our use of skills and talents, our recreation, our spiritual connection. We describe some area right. of our life that we want to achieve a wonderful goal. And then all month long, each of us know for the other member of the group that that is already done.
That's
so it's
great.
That power of agreement.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So you have so much to offer in the Gratitude Formula. It's a wonderful book and very inspiring. And I think will help people create the vibe that they need to continue to be successful. And we're getting near the end of the show. Is there a website people can go to?
They sure can. And for your viewers, they're welcome to have the first three chapters of the Gratitude Formula by going to maymccarthy.com. That's maymccarthy.com.
Oh, that's great. You know, this is really helpful to talk with you because you understand this system. And we're all using it differently, but we want to hold the essences of it and to see it through our own eyes, but understand that these are methods to keep the vibe and let the universe work with us. So that's great. So May, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you, Peter, for having me.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening. Thank you.